plus 49.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Plus 49. I'm Aline Bacha, and thanks for joining us for another edition of this show. This week, we're diving into Germany's migration and labor debates. A new international study finds that immigrants here still earn significantly less than native-born workers. And Berlin Senator Franziska Giffey is calling for faster visas and a stronger welcome culture. In our culture segment, we're cooling off at Germany's beloved Freibäder and looking at how these outdoor pools became a cornerstone of summer life. And our interview gets spicy. Literally. We talk to Mitra and Faiza from Zoro Energy about cooling solutions and why German chili might just be paprika in disguise. So let's jump right in. Let's take a look at the headlines shaking up Germany this week. First up, a new international study reveals that immigrants in Germany continue to earn significantly less than native-born workers, even across generations. According to data from 9 centuries, first-generation migrants in Germany earn nearly 20% less on average, largely because they face barriers to higher-paying jobs and industries. While the pay gap narrows in the second generation, it still persists, especially among those with African or Middle Eastern roots. Researchers emphasize that it's not just about equal pay for equal work, but about breaking down structural barriers to opportunity. Meanwhile, Berlin's economy senator Franziska Giffey is on a mission to recruit more skilled workers from India. After a visit to Delhi and Bengaluru, Giffey called for faster visa processions and a stronger welcome culture. She warned that Germany risks losing credibility if it invites workers but then delays their entry. With Berlin projected to need 400,000 skilled workers by the 2030s, Giffey says migration isn't optional, it's essential. In other demographic news, Germany's birth rate continued to decline in 2024, falling to 1.35 children per woman. The decline is slowing, but researchers say many people still don't feel supported enough to have the number of children they'd like. But there's also a reason to celebrate in Berlin this week. After 15 years of construction, Karl-Marx-Straße in Neukölln has officially reopened, with broader sidewalks and bike lanes. A street party is planned for September. And finally, some sport news. Germany's women's national team has made it to the semifinals of the European Championship. After playing over 100 minutes with just 10 players, goalkeeper Anne-Kathrin Berger became the penalty shootout hero against France, saving and scoring in a dramatic 6-5 finish. If you're spending your first summer in Germany, chances are someone has told you you haven't really done summer right until you've been to a Freibad. But what makes these public outdoor pools such a central part of German summer culture? Let's start with the basics. Freibäder are more than just pools. There are many universes of social life, nature, architecture, and ritual. You don't just go for a swim, you go to spend the day. Expect generous green lawns, where everyone seems to magically know how far to place their towel from yours, kiosks serving Pommes Schranke or Pommes Rot-Weiß, which is basically fries with ketchup and mayo, and kids squealing as they cannonball off the 5-meter diving board. Historically, Germany's Freibäder emerged from the Lebensreform movement of the early 20th century, a push for healthier, more natural living in response to industrialization. Pools like Berlin's famous Strandbad Wannsee were built to provide urban dwellers with access to sun, water, and fresh air, with sprawling architecture designed not just for swimming, but for seeing and being seen. And speaking of architecture, Berlin's Sommerbad Neukölln is a visual gem. Shaped to echo a landing airplane, it nods to the nearby Tempelhof airfield and features gardens representing global biodiversity. A quiet reminder that this city is shaped by migration, even in its leisure spaces. While city Freibäder can get packed on hot days, those in the know swear by Naturfreibäder, which are natural outdoor pools often filled with filtered lake or spring water and surrounded by trees rather than tiles. They're ideal for those craving a quieter, more serene escape without chlorine. What surprises many newcomers is the unspoken social code. You queue politely, you rinse before entering the water, and yes, you bring your own blanket. It's all part of the shared understanding that this is a space for everyone: families, swimmers, readers, and sunbathers. So next time the mercury rises, skip the crowded lake and head to your local Freibad. Whether you're there for labs, leisure, or just people watching, you'll leave understanding just a bit more of the German summer soul.
Today we're joined by Faiza and Mitra. I'm hoping that I'm saying your names correctly. This very international radio show has us always guessing about the names and the correct pronunciations of the people who are joining us. And you're joining us from Heilbronn in Germany?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you're originally from?
India.
India.
What brought you here?
I'll begin. And you got 50% right. My name is not Mitra, it's Maitra. But it's fine. That's close enough.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And initially, I was working for a German organization in India, back in India, at an R&D center. And I was sent to, this is pre-corona. So where travel was quite easy and people were like very free with traveling. So then I had to come to Germany for a training session for 6 months. And then I fell in love with the amount of research that has been going on in Germany regarding different things, automobile or green technology and things like that. So then I decided that it's time for me to quit my job and pursue my master's. So currently I'm doing my master's at KIT, which is short form for Karlsruhe Institute of Technology, which is in Karlsruhe. It's like on the south part of Germany. And we can travel, like if you travel 1 hour, you can go to Switzerland. If you travel 1 hour in other direction, you can go to Paris and things like that. So
exactly the same as in Berlin. You travel 1 hour away and you're still in Brandenburg. But
yeah, but that's how I landed up in Germany.
And Faiza?
Yeah, so for me, I visited Europe back in 2016, like Copenhagen, Denmark for the first time. And I kept visiting like for 3 years consecutively. And I just liked the people working, the culture, and that made me think. So after, my plan was to move before Corona, but then Corona happened. So after Corona, I moved to Europe for work. And so I'm a software developer, like I'm a team lead, and right now I'm working for my startup.
It is quite interesting how someone from the other side of the world decided at some point in their lives, like, yeah, I'm going to move to Germany. And there's something that we love from not only Germany and the weather, which of course I'm saying that with a very satiric tone, the weather. But we're still coming here and migrating. How has it been for you to arrive in Germany?
It's the least to say it was a little shocking when it comes to the culture, the people, or even the food, especially because like everybody knows Indian food is amazing, and that like that's one of the reasons we have been colonized for 200 years. Just spices, not even gold or anything. But like the main important thing is people in Germany, they don't use spice, and for them salt is a spice. So that was a little shocking for me once I was here.
I'm just gonna stop you right there, because what people couldn't see is that our dear producer Marlene, she just laughed a lot. So I'm going to ask this in the middle. I know we're not near Ask a German part and we are far away from this, but Marlene, do you concur that salt is a spice for Germans?
It is most definitely. I would say it's our most prized spice. And usually I would say Germans have around 5 spices max, and salt is definitely one of them, and pepper. That's like you go to new spices.
You see, we're always learning things. Okay, so thank you for that. Now I'm gonna see salt a little bit more as a spice. What about chili? Is it something in your head?
Chili is supposed to be sharp, but it isn't.
It isn't here, yeah.
It's just red powder. Probably somebody mixed some paints. They were being artistic with food.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, comparatively, Germans have a very less tolerance towards chaff and things like that. But again, it depends upon, like, most of the time the food reflects the place where you're living. So for this type of climate and the soil, things like that, what they ate is quite good. But one thing I should mention, the biggest shock was for me is apple shorle. The first time when I had
Why?
it is amazing. I've never had such a drink before anywhere. Like, and I've been to places. Trust me, I've been to a few countries, but apple schorle in Germany just hits different. Like, in the beginning, I didn't even know how to drink it because I was just drinking it directly, and it was like too much flavor. And then one of the German told me that you have to mix with Sprudelwasser, and then it's like, I was just drinking apple schorle for like 3 months or so. Yeah, it was amazing.
We're so gonna quote you on this because it's
Yeah.
great. We haven't even gotten to the part of Faiza, so let's make one music break, and when we come back, we'll talk about how we actually, as migrants, spice up the life of Germany. To be honest, we have been laughing this whole time just thinking about the five spices that Germans eat. I've never realized that there were just five and that salt was included.
I briefly dated a German, so it was very difficult for us to like eat together. And then she sat me down a day and she explained all of these things, and I was like, okay, I don't think this will work out anymore.
But it's actually very interesting to see how what you said, like food is representing the way, of course, geographically how a country works. And I would really stand out to say that we migrated here and we are bringing the food with us. We're bringing the spices, the flavor, the color. So it's not a bad mixture. We're coloring the landscape of Germany in other colors.
Yeah, the currywurst, the famous currywurst, and the curry comes from the Indian style of making recipes. Yeah.
So Faiza, you're not only here to talk about food, even though I'm pretty sure we could do this. So let's talk about your baby, Zorro, or how you say it, because for me it will be Zorro, but I'm very sure that it's not how you say it.
No, it is how you say it. It is Zoro energy, and I think Feza should introduce our baby.
So, do you like before I do you know about the heating, ventilation, or air conditioning systems in general?
The idea that no Germans use air conditioning and right now we're all sweating like we were pigs. No, let's go to the basics.
So, as you already know, there are no heating. The HVAC systems are probably not there in all the buildings, but most of the new buildings in Germany or even in the old buildings, they're installing these systems because given the global warming and we all are sweating, we all know that. So they're installing these new systems and they generally don't work pretty efficiently. They work, there is a lot of energy wastage there. Suppose you had the energy bill was for 10,000 euros, and out of that, 3,000 euros was a waste. Yes. So, based on our research, we found out that these systems are not that efficient and it's a huge energy waste. And you'll know that so many the energy prices have gone so up. Like it was 20 cent and now it's 60 cent and it just keeps increasing day by day. And the weather, given the global warming, it keeps changing, and in going forward also it will keep changing. So we will be needing these systems, the HVAC systems I have been mentioning, and if they keep working inefficiently, like how they are working. So we'll be bleeding money. So we don't want that. We want to optimize them. So that's what we are doing. We are an AI-powered platform, and we want to optimize these systems so that we all can relax and feel cozy, comfortable in our buildings, and not just want to be, because you cannot go out also because it's hot out. So yeah, so we're just trying to make everybody's life comfortable in that way.
And like one thing that she missed is like we're concentrating more on the non-residential buildings.
Yes.
So like the workspaces or the university campuses that you talk about and things like that, because people don't understand that we spend so much time in our lives at work that it is our second home. And they just don't appreciate that so much. So once we make the place where you work more comfortable for people, they'll work more efficiently and they will want to come to office rather than going having an Ola every 2 to 3 months, things like that. So that's the main concern. And also we try to integrate this, the heating system, the ventilation system and the air conditioning system, which in hindsight is called the HVAC system, the abbreviation, to a battery pack and solar panels on the roof and make it autonomous from the grid, which is saying that it will, you can work or you can have a comfortable working space even though you are completely cut off from the grid. So this is keeping in mind what happened on June 23rd in Spain. There was a very small short circuit in a plant, and that has created a cascading effect, and the entire, almost half of the country was dark for 16, 18 hours.
It was one of the biggest things I think we have seen in the current status of the world regarding how we rely on energy to our daily lives and just to communicate with each other. Yesterday, June 25th, there was a concert in Frankfurt with Pitbull. And there's been circulating the whole day videos of him getting super frustrated that the people inside of the the organization team didn't turn on the air conditioning. And he was so pissed off because he was saying like, it's so warm here. I cannot understand how today in Germany, 2025, and there's no air conditioning. He was really flipping up. And of course, that explains a lot about Germany and air conditioning and the feeling of air conditioning. But I think you also said something very important, which is efficiency. And maybe by doing an incorporation of air conditioning in a more efficient way, Germans will be more on board regarding air conditioning topics. But you've come out of an accelerator and you have done this pitch a long time. How has it been for the Germans when you talk about, for instance, air conditioning?
Yeah, it's a little bit challenging because I wouldn't say it is that challenging, because people are understanding the problem and the use case that we are trying to solve. Because as you can see, a lot of the people that we talk to are facility managers. So the entire job is to keep the occupants' comfort inside the non-residential or commercial buildings. So they are aware of this problem. And everybody is, as of now, actively looking for solutions such as this. So, and also, if you can see, in 2024, the Best Startup of the Year award has been awarded to Einscom of Funf. It's a Netherlands company, and it almost does exactly what we are trying to do, but in a quite an expensive manner and in a very grandeur way for homes, but not for non-residential buildings.
Definitely with climate change, it is a key point and a key topic. And you also have Enpal, who is a Berlin unicorn. But how did it work for you from coming from the idea of doing something not only for matters of brain food, but also for matters to implementing it and having a smiled baby. How was it for you as non-Germans to start your own startup?
It is quite exciting, actually, because we've been working on, to be frank, we've wanted to have something of our own for the past 6 to 7 months. It's not that long. And we've been stumbling upon multiple ideas. And fortunately or unfortunately, we have found this amazing community outside Berlin. I know Berlin is amazing for startups and the community is really good and on point. But we have found such one of the such great communities in Heilbronn. And they helped us to pivot from one idea to another. And also they helped us to understand what kind of market penetration that we should look into while coming up with such ideas or such products, and how to get there, and connections, and talking to a lot of people, making a speech when we are uncomfortable in front of so many people multiple times in order to make us comfortable with our own idea. And yeah, we're very fortunate to have found Campus Founders.
The migrant accelerator.
Yeah, the migrant accelerator too. That was a huge help, and because they have completely different skill set compared to Campus Founders, they helped us to understand the visa processing, how you can, as a migrant, how you can register a company in Germany, which is again a huge thing with the Ausländer Beholder, and it takes a lot of time.
Ausländer Beholder, my Lieblingswort.
Yes.
Yeah, Shamila has been a great help, and she introduced us to multiple. Shamila is the coordinator for the Migrant Accelerator, and she helped us in understanding different customer segments, because we were thinking of pitching it to only one type of customer segment. She introduced us to multiple people where we can sell our product, and that has been really nice. And we're just looking forward to our first pilot client and some revenue, mostly by the end of the year, and that would be really nice. Actually, can I say something about this? Is an amazing idea. Like, what you guys are doing is really, really nice, and it helps a lot of people like us to just listen to us or get motivated and to understand that there are people in the same boat, even though you might not see them. You're just traveling, so it's okay. Just keep going on. You might reach shore someday. Really, really amazing. Thank you, guys.
No, thank you. Oh my God, thank you so much. Look at her. Even her German heart is feeling something. Not true, Marlene.
Actually, I would say something on that. But that's a huge misconception that Germans are not lovely. Yeah. It's, once you get to know them, they have no personal boundaries. Once you know them, like until you don't know them, they're like, don't talk to me, don't look at me, and things like that. But once they think that, okay, he's fine, he's our person, then there's nothing that they cannot. I was scared, actually.
You know, one of the things that I realized once I had my very first very good German friend was that we were vacationing, we were just having fun, blah blah blah, and then in the morning he goes inside, he starts showering with the doors open and everything, and then he comes out like nothing, not a care in the world. And I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this. This is, for me, again, way too personal.
Yeah, yeah, and the saunas. Oh my God!
Oh, the German
that
saunas.
That German sauna was like,
either it is full naked,
or else
wear clothes. Why are you not wearing?
Yeah. That's the same thing. What I'm trying to say. You proved my point. Thank you.
How is it actually to be living in Heilbronn? Because probably coming from India, I mean, coming from Mexico City, I know that 25 million people is a lot. And when I come to Berlin, I'm like, oh, that's so cute. You just have like 5 million. And for everybody's like, oh my God, the city and so many people. I'm like, no. So how is it for you? Because in Heilbronn, I think you're, I don't even think you're above a million.
I think here we might be an exception in this case because coming from, even though we're coming from India, we don't like so many like people and having seen so many people or even interacting with them on a daily basis. So that's one of the main reasons I moved to Germany.
less people. We don't like people. Many people around.
It might come in a negative context that we do like people because we are people, but it's just too much. We have 1.8 billion people in India.
And now you're living in a city that has 132,000 people.
It's so nice.
Yeah. And the city is so small and cute that we come across same faces. It's like, it feels like our hometowns.
Yeah.
So before we leave you to interview you definitely in 1 year, because we would love to know where you're going to be in 1 year, or at least at the end of the year. What is the next? I mean, you've been doing this for 7 months now. And then if I understand this correctly, so you have to educate the AI more or less?
So we build our system and we ship it to the client building and or the client area. And we need at least minimum, as of now, we are planning it to be 3 weeks for the AI system to understand your usage. How do you use it? When do you have too many people and there is a huge spike in electricity usage? Or when do you have very few people and there is very less amount of energy needed in order to run your building? So in order to learn all these things, it might take 3 weeks. But after, once that is done, then it will give you recommendations. Not only recommendations, it will adjust things without even your permission and make it more efficient. And you can have a chat with it. We have Asura, the AI assistant that we are developing, where you can just have saying, "Hi Asura, how are you doing today? The weather is changing for the next 3 months. So is there any appliances that are not running efficiently or that needs fixing or repairs or things like that?" And it will let you know. And also it will tell you how much you've been saving and how much energy has been being consumed. Or are there any discrepancies in the working of the systems and everything? It's like we're trying to make your building smarter.
So you don't like people, but you like talking to an AI. Oh.
I love dogs. I love dogs.
It sounds perfect. That sounds very scary. Yet on the other side, not the part that you like the dogs, but that you can actually talk to Asura and talk with her and she can predict this. It's really interesting. It's super interesting. So
thank you.
Congratulations on what you're doing. I'm very sure that at some point, whenever we start having AC in our buildings, we can go back to this interview and say, we interview them first because of them, because also we have now AC in Germany.
Yeah, that's the hope. And if you do have AC in your building one day, please do let us know. We can optimize it for you and you can be our customers too.
Perfect. We'll do that. Thank you again so much. And thank you so for your kind words and, of course, for being part of our little community doing things for Germany from a migrant perspective.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Clause 49. Ask a German.
I really don't understand why Germans love to walk. It completely goes against their entire economic or employee or what they are known for. It was opposites because Germans are known for their fast cars. Germans are like, wherever you go in the world, if you say Germany, the first thing comes to mind is Mercedes or BMW or Volkswagen or a lot of things. But here in Germany, the Germans love to walk. They walk immediately after eating and they have a word for that. And they go on hikes and just for fun, no apparent reason. And for them, walking 3 kilometers is a very common and usual thing. even though they have cars and they make the best cars. That's one thing, one question I want to ask Germans. Why do you guys love walking so much?
You're absolutely right about that. Germans do love to walk everywhere, whether it's a Spaziergang after lunch, a weekend hike, or just walking instead of taking the U-Bahn one stop. It's deeply embedded in their culture. And funny enough, I myself actually grew up rolling my eyes at how much my parents insisted on walking. And now I find myself doing the exact same thing. Just yesterday we went to a restaurant and I suggested we just walk there because it's only a 20-minute walk. Part of it, I would say, comes down to practicality. Cities here are actually built for pedestrians. They're walkable, compact, and with lots of green spaces in between. But it's also cultural. Walking is seen as something healthy, mindful, and social. It's not uncommon to go on a walk just to talk. No destination needed. The classic Feierabendspaziergang is basically therapy in motion. There is even a German word for it. Bewegung an der frischen Luft. Movement in the fresh air. It's less about fitness and more about clearing your mind, being outside, and making time slow down a little. So yes, what might start as we are walking again often becomes let's just walk. It's only 20 minutes.
I could ask, why do you love Kaffee and Kuchen? Like everywhere it's Kaffee and Kuchen. And I mean, it's the timing of it generally is at 4 o'clock and we have just had our lunch around 1 or 2 maybe. And then there's no space for me at least to eat. So I just don't understand sometimes that why this Kaffee and Kuchen always going around.
Yeah. And this is like a national sport.
Yes.
if like in India, if friends want to hang out with each other, we play something, we play cricket or we go to a movie, like we just hang out. But in Germany, if friends every week, all the friends will meet up for coffee for sure. You have coffee at home, much cheaper.
Kaffee and Kuchen here isn't just a snack break. It's a whole social ritual. You can basically think of it as the German version of British afternoon tea. Traditionally, around 3 or 4 p.m. is the perfect excuse to slow down, sit together and eat something sweet. Often with family, sometimes with neighbors, always with cake. For many of us, it's something we grew up with. For example, my grandma hosted Kaffee and Kuchen almost every Saturday. The whole family would come by, she'd bake something or bring out the good old Käsekuchen, and no matter where we were, even on vacation, 3 p.m. meant coffee and cake. It's a tradition passed down through generations, and as a cake lover, I'm not mad about it. Historically, it probably stuck because it offered structure to the day. In times when there weren't endless activities or entertainment options, Kaffee and Kuchen was a reason to gather, and a delicious one at that. Today, even younger people keep it alive. But whether traditional or modern, one thing stays true. If you love cake, Germany's got your back. That's it for this week's episode of Plus 49. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. We hope today's stories gave you something to think about and maybe even made you smile. A big thanks to our guests Mitra and Faiza from Zoro Energy for joining us to talk about summer heat, smart cooling, and the 5 spices in German kitchens. If you enjoyed the episode, share it with a friend. And don't forget to follow us on social media or visit plus49.de for more stories and updates. We'll be back next week with more summer culture, community voices, and a fresh look at life between languages. Until then, stay cool, stay curious, and enjoy the sun, whether you're at the Freibad or just dreaming of one.